going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
I don't know why, Dan. Why do I do this? Why do I continuously look at Twitter to see what people's opinions are? Because there are times I like sharing them on the air with us, and I continually do this. And it's just like, you know, and I've said this before, Jeff only really, really gets mad when someone says to him, Jeff, you said last hour that Dan Menigan is the smartest man that's ever walked the face of the earth. And if he didn't say that, or he said Dan was the dumbest man that
ever
walked.
You got to be more realistic.
I'm saying... Like, that's the thing. Like, he gets so mad when someone says something to him that he didn't actually say. And I respect that. And I'm like, I'm just kind of looking through some of these. I'm looking through some of these tweets. And one's just ripping Jeff. And I'm like, Jeff's not here. How can you?
Well, because especially now we're doing a whole bunch of stuff social media wise. So I think people are catching it on different days and you're running into it. I'm Dan. Please rip me accordingly. Don't rip Jeff. Jeff did not say anything that ridiculous. If it sounds too ridiculous to be true, it's probably me. Rip me accordingly, because I don't care.
I think that's the beauty of Jeff. Jeff really, like, I'm telling you, if you're absolutely positively wasting your time ripping Jeff on social media. Just, you are wasting your time, because he really, and I'll be say this with all of my heart, he really does not care at all. Zero. My problem is I get too emotional. Like, I'll start getting mad. I'll be like, what is this guy talking? Like, I get mad when people are just 1,000% wrong. And I think mute is the greatest button in social media history. So I'm good with that, too.
To quote the great wrestler CM Punk, Twitter is the window in my kitchen. I like having it open to hear the outside world. And when I've had enough of it, I shut the window.
Well said. You're so philosophical. It's amazing.
I'm just quoting professional wrestlers, man. It's the smartest thing that I've heard. I was like, he said that. I forget what interview it was he said it in. And I was like, wow, that's really good. That's a great way to put it. Good on you. Like, it was like one of those moments of like clarity where it's like, you're right. You're smart.
You keep reading books like LeBron right there. By the way, I got to tell you, that LeBron commercial have you seen the LeBron commercial where he has all these books? It's for a game. You know, there's like all these cheesy commercials out there about how you can make money playing these games online. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And you swipe one way or another. It's like Tetris is what it looks like to me.
Right.
That's my old school reference of the day for you. LeBron totally bought into it. I give him credit. It's a really good spot. Okay. Back to the subject at hand, my friend. Back to the subject at hand. What are they going to do?
Sonny Weaver, who you got? I mean, what am I doing? I'm taking Travis Hunter at 2. And then I am going to let the rest of the chips fall where they may. I am not trading back up. I am not giving up any assets into the future to get back into this draft, because I think the meat and potatoes part of this draft outside of like 6 guys is all relatively similar. I'll sit there and hold the cards at 33, knowing that there will be a quarterback in a bucket that I am okay with and I'm okay with rolling with, that I can possibly develop along the way. Or, you know, we're just going to keep an eye out, and maybe that turns into a running back. Maybe that turns into something else at 33. I'm following my board. I'm not trading back up. But I'll go Travis Hunter. I will say this too. If they go Abdul Carter, I'm fine with it. Cool. Sounds great. Let's book in the defense and let's get rolling.
All right. I'm going to come back here in a second because I want to ask you this major question. How much do you trust Andrew Berry on draft night? We'll get to that in a second. I'm going to take some phone calls because we got a ton of them. David is on the line. Hi, David. How are you? Tell your friends in a second. That's the way to go. How are you, my friend? How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good. Doing What's well. A good word?
All right. So just thinking about this and looking at the Giants, like I find it hard to believe that of all of our positions on the Browns, one of our areas of strength is cornerback. Obviously, we need a wide receiver, and I'd love to have Hunter. It's crazy to think that we would pass on a guy like that, but I feel like the Giants are playing coy. Do they really need a third defensive back? They're in a very similar situation with us with the quarterback issues and having some really good talent on defense at a certain position. So I think the ideal move is to for a trade. Go to three.
Wait, let me ask you, what makes you think the Giants need a DB? Everywhere I've looked, it's Abdul Carter.
Because who do they have two of the best defensive ends on the team right now?
Yeah, I think
why would they need a third?
I think he said DB and D end.
Oh, you said
D. Words in your mouth there.
Oh, I thought you said defensive back.
No,
you say defensive end. Okay, now this makes sense. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
They are suited to take a guy like Hunter for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And we get something very, very good for moving down one spot. We take Abdul Carter, who is probably the guy that I would want, given you just made a big investment to Miles.
Mm-hmm.
So why not give him a little bit of insurance? Hey, we're going to prolong his shelf life by having some more attention on the other side with a legit guy that's not going to cost us a lot. And you have another ammunition for the quarterback, who, in my opinion, I don't want to have a quarterback that we're going to be able to just live with. Sorry. Like we've been grasping at straws for a long time. Like next year, I'm okay with going after quarterback next year because there's just too many question marks with these guys this year. I don't know who's coming out next year, but I know that three of the top four are 6'4" taller. I love that. That's just one stat that makes me feel a bit better than these 6'1", 6'2" quarterbacks with deficits that keep, landing, on teams and they need a lot of development. So I feel like postpone that. If we trade back, maybe we trade back from 3 to 5 or somebody wants to come up for the running back. Now we're looking very good. We can probably come back into the second round much easier and get either, playing the AFC.
David, let me just get this straight. How far back are you willing to move in the first round? Are you willing to move out of the first round? That's not going to fly real well around.
No. Okay. I want to go from pick number two to maybe pick number three, and then from pick number three to either 5 or 6. And I don't want to go any further down than that.
Okay. David, I don't have a problem with that. I agree with that. Thank you, David. Appreciate it.
Can I play a little devil's advocate?
Yeah. Again, stay in the top 6, 7. You're good. I think they can get a quality guy that's going to be here for a long time. 6, 7. That's it.
I'll play a little devil's advocate. I'm about to say a whole bunch of words, and I don't totally know if I believe them, so please don't yell at me. If they trade out of the first round, okay,
and let's say stop. They I don't even want to hear the rest of the conversation. Okay. There's no reason for them to trade out of the first round.
All right,
none.
If they do that, and if Andrew Berry walks up to the podium afterwards and goes, "We couldn't turn down the haul that we got. This is going to help us to rebuild our team. This team, we are going to do everything we can to win. We want to win, but we understand that this roster needs to be in better shape if we truly need to get to the goal that we need to get to." If there's a moment of clarity and a moment of honesty, I don't know how angry everyone is going to be.
There is no moment or none, zero.
Again,
zilch.
I don't believe
if they
all
move
of the
out
words
of the first round, they would have to get a team that is mediocre or bad to trade them at least 3 first round picks to move out of that number 2 spot.
Or desperate. Don't forget desperate. Desperate makes you do dumb things. Desperation is the thing you're looking for. Desperation is the reason why you can talk some of these teams into doing some things that they do. Again, I don't agree with this. I want one of the blue chippers. I want this. I'm playing devil's advocate right now, okay?
It does feel like this could be a year where somebody could make a major mistake, though.
Exactly.
I just don't feel like this draft is like not
like the
shocking.
Giants seem primed to do it.
All right, Gary is in Strongsville. Hey, Gary, how are you?
All right,
Gary. I'm good. How are you guys?
Good, good. We're excited for the draft.
Oh, man, I'm a nervous freaking wreck.
There you go. Did I not tell you this on the way in? Like, that's how I felt when I started today's show.
Go on a walk, get some sunshine.
No,
in you. You'll
get
be
it
fine.
Off your chest. Talk now. You'll feel better.
Oh, my God. First off, I mean, I just, you know, love the Browns. Grew up here. God, my best memories are my dad, God rest his soul, dragging us down there to Steelers games and slap and screw the Steelers bumper stickers on our snow suits because they looked black and they didn't want us to get beat up in the parking lot.
That's smart. Gets him out of fights, too.
Yeah, he was a smart guy, I'll tell you that. I think, you know, everybody's saying so much stuff. It is, we need offense. We need, I'd be fine with Travis Hunter, but then there's the worry about, oh my God, is he really going to be too small? And if he tries to play all these downs and if he gets hurt. And then there's Abdul. That's great. We got another defensive end, but we still can't score more than, what was it, 7 points a game over the last three games?
We averaged 6.3, I think.
Yeah, but look at the guys you threw out there.
And you were also praying to have the number two pick by the end of the season. So that's the only caveat I'll give you on that.
I mean, come on. You watched Bailey Zappi attempt to throw a ball for a little bit, for crying out loud. A gentleman with the name of Bailey Zappi played quarterback.
I've seen how many, like 42 people play quarterback.
Yep. And that one would be toward the bottom if we were going to rank him. He's down there with like Kevin Hogan and that whole group.
Oh, yeah. I think, we definitely need some guy who's, even if it's Mason Graham, I'll take Mason Graham and stuff the middle of that line. We haven't been able to do that for a while, you know. But we got to get one or two guys. For sure, one dude who's out there day one and making this team better.
There you go.
And like you were saying, Dan, I mean, two or three other guys who are out there and they're absolutely contributing. And I just want to see them nail this. We haven't had this many picks. I'm going to be up all night watching everything. Up here tomorrow watching everything. And I just got my fingers crossed. We get some guys who can get on the field. And we get out there and win a few more games next year. Move in the right direction, you know?
All right, Gary. Thank you. Gary and Stars, I want to sneak one more in here before we have to
go. Blue chipper, 2 to 3 starters.
It's a great question coming up here. Jeff is in Cleveland. Hi, Jeff.
What's happening, Jeff?
Yeah, you know, this is what's bothering me. It's the day of the draft, okay? Nobody has. You guys, usually I depend on you guys to give me this information, but seems like everybody's on the witch hunt of the day of the draft. No one has any degree of certainty who the Browns is going to take.
That means Andrew Berry did his job.
They know who's going to take number one. They know who's going to – where Cam's going, but no one knows anything about who the Browns is going
to
pick.
So Jeff, let me talk you off the ledge a little bit on that one. Andy put it really well while you were talking. The reason you don't know is because everybody in that building has kept their mouth shut, and that's what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to keep their mouth shut. They're not supposed to call up the insiders. They're not supposed to call us. They're not supposed to text people. They're supposed to keep their mouth shut.
And I'm going to give you another reason, Jeff. Let's be super honest. Does anyone really trust the Browns with the draft? And so everyone's sitting here going, I think I know what they're going to do. But I'm not quite sure because of the history. Will they follow suit and end up bringing in guys that have zero impact on this organization or very little impact at all? There's a great story today.
Every day they add another college player to the list. Now he got Ginty in there. Now he might pick Ginty. You know, this is starting to be a witch hunt.
It's not a witch hunt. Look, if you think it's a witch hunt, we have bigger problems. It's kind of fun if you think about it. Come on, Jeff. You're a regular caller. We like you, Jeff. Well, so let me go back into this trust thing.
Before you get there, can I just chime in with a real one quick thing?
Yeah.
When you hear leaks out of a building of who they're going to take, it's usually because somebody disagrees with that idea that's taking place in the building, and they need to complain to someone about it. That's typically how it ends up.
And then you're trying to create media heat on the outside that make you go, why aren't you guys going to do that? Exactly. That's silly. That's stupid.
People who are all agreeing on something usually don't talk.
All right, let me go back to the question and I'm going to answer this when we come back. Do you trust the front office to do the right thing? And I think that causes the uncertainty because, let's face it, most people have settled into the fact that they're going to take Travis Hunter at 2. But do you believe it until you actually hear it tonight when the commissioner says his name? All this time coming up until 8 o'clock, all the time we've spent, over the last couple months trying to figure this thing out. But do you trust the front office? 3 wins doesn't make you trust the front office. I can tell you that right now. 216-474-0092, Baskin and Phelps with Dan Menigan. 216-474-0092. I'll never, ever, 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 ever forget the night before, it was just right before the supplemental draft when Pete Franklin came on the air and said the Browns are getting Bernie Kosar. Like, I can't remember a night where I was more excited to hear what was going on. And I remember having this like long conversation with my dad. I'm like, I don't understand how they can do this. How can they get Bernie Kosar that does the draft and he's still in school? I don't understand it. So, and then Pete Franklin just totally explained the whole thing. And like, that's one of those nights in radio history that you look back on. You're like, wow, that was a night that radio actually worked. Like, made me smarter when I was a kid. So
that's great. That's really cool. So the only one of those Browns related that I have is I remember something happened with the power at the house. And so we listened to the radio for the Johnny Manziel pick. That one I remember. And I was in a room with a bunch of we had Browns fans who were there. And then also my one friend who was a Tennessee Titan fan, and she was living up in Cleveland at the time. And she's a huge college football fan and pro football fan, and just started cackling and was like, well, that's going to be a disaster. And she was right. That's the one that I never forget.
All right. So obviously we'll have the draft going on tonight, but Daryl Ryder and I are going to have a podcast for you tonight as soon as the team makes a pick. As soon as the pick happens, as soon as we can quickly get a podcast up right away to kind of break down what the Browns did with that number two pick, you'll be able to catch it. So you don't want to miss me and Daryl on our latest edition of It's Always Game Day in Cleveland. We're going to discuss all the latest things that are going on with the Browns, including tonight's pick. So as soon as it happens, probably like I would think not very long after the Browns make the selection, Daryl and I are going to break it down and we'll have you covered. So make sure you subscribe to It's Always Game Day in Cleveland right now at 923thefan.com on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Sponsored locally by our good friends at Smiley One and Bryant, Northeast Ohio's premier heating and cooling solution. And let's be honest. I mean, it's like a good game, right? Like, if you went to a game and you invested your time into it and you saw your team win, like, you know, on a game-winning field goal or a touchdown with no time left on the clock or just all those great things, like, you still want to be a part of the game. And that's what I think the beauty of what we do is. We give you the opportunity to be a part of the community, and you're able to jump on the air right away afterwards and say, oh, this is what. So tonight, like, you know, after they make the pick, Daryl and I will have our podcast. But, you know, more than that, too, you'll have the opportunity to call into the radio station, because we all know that later on, you'll have a chance to get your voice out there. And so you'll be able to participate. So make sure what you really want to do, and then make sure you're getting the inside opinion. Like, I understand you want to watch the big networks while you're watching this and you see the pick because you want to see it. But immediately you want to know what's going on. You want to turn to our guys at 92.3 The Fan so you can hear what's going on right after the pick. So right, come over to the station.
We'll have the Browns Radio Network coverage here. When the pick is made, you'll hear from the pick. They will call into the show. So
yeah, I don't know many teams that are doing that. Yeah, man.
If it's Abdul Carter, you'll hear from him here. If it's Travis Hunter, you'll hear from him right here. If they decide to trade back up into the first round and get somebody else, you'll hear from that pick as well. They're going to have somebody from the front office might pop on. You never know who is going to come on as well on the Browns Radio Network coverage. So make sure you're listening right here on 92.3 The Fan.
Yeah, and you're not getting – I mean, it's the local stuff. Like, there's no local – I don't think there's any local TV stations doing anything. I mean, they're too worried about, I don't know, whatever garbage they're putting on the air. So, I mean, you're going to get it. You'll get it right away, and you want to lock into 92.3 The Fan, or just go over to the Odyssey app. You're good to go there, too, so you'll be able to listen to that. Dan, you're in charge of that, too, aren't you? A lot of pressure I just put on you.
Not in charge. I'm one of the people who will be running around in the back going, do we have this? Can we get this? We're going to need it. Like, that's going to be my job.
Wow, that's cool. You got to go behind the scenes with Dan Menigan. Mm-hmm. Raheem is in Westlake. Hello, how are you?
What's happening, Raheem?
Hey, guys, I just want to run this by you. I don't know. I think Browns need a lot of work, both sides of the ball. And my dad was telling me that Barry's high on this Andy Hilt guy. He's kind of a local kid, plays both sides of the ball, phenomenal athlete. I want to know if you guys heard anything of rumor mills about him, if he's on any of you guys' radar. I know he's high on my dad's.
I'm not going to lie to you, man. I do not know of him. I got to do some research and digging for him.
I know that they call him Nopal Tony, too. I think a nickname or something for defense.
All right. Thanks, man. Appreciate the phone call. Let's go to Lars, who's in Shaker Heights. Hey, Lars, how are you? What's up, Lars?
My thing is, they are not spending millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars in to put Journey in the town to trade down to pick Mason Grant.
What do you have against defensive tackles? How dare you?
I love Mason Grant. Mason Grant's a great player. He beat Ohio State personally on the, against Michigan. Well, but I don't see it. I'm telling you, this Journey show is the reason why there's no Greenbrier this year. You heard it here first.
All right. Lars, thank you for the phone call. Guys, if football operations is concerned about marketing, or if marketing thinks that they have some sort of influence on football operations and who they are going to pick, we are all in big trouble. The fact that Journey is here for a party for a season ticket base that deserves some sort of reward for sticking it out for as long as you have, for not selling off your season tickets, so that they're offering you up a free concert tonight, no matter what they do it to, should have absolutely zero impact on what Andrew Berry is thinking. And I know we all want to sit here and go, oh, we've got Journey. Like, if they had the number one pick overall, then I might buy into that a little bit more. But they don't. They don't have 100% control over what happens at two. Even though we all know, we all think that that Cam Ward's going number one to Tennessee, and Tennessee has said that, we get that. But can we be really, really honest? As much as you might be mad at the Browns or upset with the Browns, or you know, you want to throw a brick through your TV on Sundays, or you think, oh my God, this is the worst front office, worst ownership in the history of the game, I can tell you there's just no way that the fact that Journey is here tonight has any influence on what they're doing at number two. Please, Dan, tell me I'm not crazy.
I don't think you're crazy. I don't think you're crazy.
I heard it right away. I was like, especially when they announced the concert. You know what?
They're not going to bring Journey in here to go do this. Like,
to trade down.
Bring a Journey in here so that people come down to the stadium so that they can get the picture and the video when everybody, they go, with the number two pick in the NFL draft, the Browns select, and everybody going, woo!
Here's what they want. I mean, let's be honest. Here's what they want, right? They want to be able to say, you know what, season ticket holders, thank you. Like, I hear it all the time. Really, really upset season ticket holders. Like, super upset. Like, what has this team ever done for us? And I guarantee you, I almost 1,000% guarantee you, that they got together in the marketing room and said, you know what, we've got the number two pick. We're back in the first round again. We like doing draft parties. I remember I did a draft show a couple years ago. I think we were in the Muni lot.
Oh, that's cool.
It was Nathan and I. We did a show, and that one was on TV. And that was their way. It was a big party, right? Yeah. Like, they had a big party. They want to have a big party for the draft, and I don't have any problem with that at all. I think every team, I mean, tell me how much fun it's going to be in Green Bay tonight. Wouldn't it be a blast to be in Green Bay tonight for the draft? I mean, that town is awesome.
Yeah.
It's absolutely football awesome.
I give the NFL a boatload of credit. Because if you've noticed who they've been picking to put the draft in, it's all of the cold weather cities that they won't put a Super Bowl in. And so this is their way of saying, okay, we can't give you a Super Bowl because it's cold outside and you have an open air stadium and all that kind of stuff. So here's the NFL draft. And they've done such a good job, and Green Bay is jumping right now. What was it? I saw Colleen Wolf of NFL Network.
Was she playing Hammerschlagen?
She was showing the gift bag, and inside of the gift bag was a big thing of cheese.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
It's like, lean into it. So, yeah, I'm sure Titletown Brewing is having a good time just, you know, filling up all sorts of pint glasses and all of that kind of stuff. And I'm sure the beer cheese soup is going nuts, too. And it's going to be a good time up there.
Roman's in Canton. Friend of the show, Roman. How are you, Roman?
What's going on, fellas? How are we doing?
We're good, right? You pumped or what? What's the deal?
I am pumped, man. I think, so today's my birthday.
Hey, happy birthday, Roman! Hey. If you know Roman in Canton, make sure you call him. Say happy birthday to him.
I appreciate it, man.
We'll hang the banner at the Baskin and Phelps Caller Hall of Fame in Hinckley.
Hey, you know what? I'll take it. That's a win. No, seriously, the only thing I want for my birthday today, and it's beautiful that it lands, the draft landed today, I just want them to get it right. And I don't know how that is. I'm not an NFL, you know, draft expert. I don't know who that is or how that happens, but I'm praying to the birthday gods that we just get it right this year, because we need to. And let's be honest, if we don't get it right this year, then we're in for an ugly four years.
Roman, let's walk through it. Ready? If they draft Travis Hunter, is that getting it right?
I think that's somebody that you can't.
Are you going to be mad?
On.
Are you going to be mad if no. they draft? Okay, so that's just it's no. easy. It's yes or no. If they draft Abdul Carter, is that yes or no? Right? Is that right? Is that right?
I don't know. I wouldn't be mad about that either.
Okay, I think you have to ask yourself today: what would make me mad?
What would make me mad is them trying to be the smart guys in the room and drafting down and trying to load up on the opportunity that they have and, you know, drafting out of the top 10 or whatever it may be. I think that, you know, if for future prospect or future draft or whatever it is, I think they have an idea of where they want to go. I think that obviously offense needs a boost, and the best guy to do that in this year's draft is Travis Hunter, because the majoring in offense and minoring on defense, I think that's a great idea. That's a great setup for the future, because you can use him on offense all the time. Defense, third and down, you know, third and long, if there should be packages where you have Travis out there covering the guy who you think is getting the ball. So, or you know, who is helping out. I'm not sure how they do it. But I don't think they could go wrong with drafting Travis.
Build a plan, Roman. That's my whole thing when it comes to him, is just build a plan and then follow that plan with it. I think you let him play both sides of the ball for at least a year or two. And then after that, maybe see if he wants to major in one of them. And maybe that's the way to go about it, Roman. The only thing I worry about is him being a tell if you use him.
Ed, 1 minute. What do you got, Ed?
Hi, guys. Hey, help me out here. I'm a Buckeye fan, and I don't watch a lot of other football, so I'm not sure. But I saw Will Howard beat top five teams like Penn State, Indiana.
Then run through.
What's that?
No, he's. I'm with you, Ed. Keep going. I'm on your team.
And then run through the playoffs, beating all these big teams. Why is he not? I mean, what does Milrose or Dart have above Howard? He can run when he has to. I mean, I've seen him run people over. I've seen him make great throws. I mean, I'm not saying first day pick. But second day and third,
it
third
sounds like
round.
It probably third round. I think you're right. That's where I look, and they'll kill me because I mean I've just been getting crushed by my friends on this too, because I think Will Howard is a guy that could help a team win a championship. What did he do? Right, Oregon slipped up at the end of the game. Guess what? They played Oregon again. They came back and won. Michigan was one of the most humiliating losses in the history of the program. I'll sit here and I'll say it till I'm blue in the face. They never, ever, ever should have lost that game. But yet, somehow, some way, they still had a good enough record. They still made it into the tournament. And then they went in and beat four teams that were ranked 9 and above to go on and win a national championship. I don't want to hear the garbage about he doesn't have arm strength. He does. What we're hearing is evaluations from people out there that just they don't like him, or they don't think he is as good as Cam Ward. Everyone jumped on the Shedeur Sanders bandwagon. Everybody, and by the way, where's Shedeur? Where's Shedeur going to get drafted tonight? Look, I like Will Howard. If Will Howard gets the opportunity to play, he's going to make somebody happy. I'm not saying he's going to win a Super Bowl for somebody, but I think he's a quarterback who's going to be around the league for a couple of years here. There are plenty of quarterbacks just like him that have been around for a long time. I think Will Howard's going to help a team. Love his attitude. If you listen to any of his postgame press conferences throughout the season, and I heard every one of them, the kid is a winner, and he knows how to turn things around. All right, let's come back. I still want to ask this question about Andrew Berry. We'll get to that in a second. How much do you trust him tonight to do the right thing at number two? The other question I have for you is, how are you digesting this thing tonight? You know what I'm saying? Are you watching the draft? You going to do other things? You're just going to set up a push notification? We're going to try to get with the times next. 216-474-0092. Baskin and Phelps with Dan Menigan.
Solving math. I remember Pythagorean theorem, a squared plus b squared equals c squared, to find the long side of a right triangle. I do remember that, or the hypotenuse, I should say. And then after that, I was like, well.
How often have you used that since you graduated? I'm just curious.
Often, but it's because I've helped out
track
kids.
Oh, what do you mean?
Track kids with geometry homework.
I was watching a kid do geometry 2 days ago. I was doing homework with a tutor who was sitting close to me, and I was just like, kid, when are you ever going to use any of that in the real world?
So geometry I end up using, but also, like, you end up using that a decent amount when it comes to, like, hanging stuff. You know, you kind of use a little bit of geometry, or if you shoot pool. Like, you use geometry a lot when you shoot pool.
But you don't think about it. Are you thinking about geometry when you play pool?
I mean, you kind of see angles.
Never. All right, I'm already bored with this math subject because I already fell asleep. I was, like, 30 seconds away from falling asleep like I did in high school. Let me ask you this. Where are you watching the draft tonight? What are you going to do?
I'll be here, but if you weren't working tonight,
what would you do?
If I was not at work, I would probably have set up the push notifications and then just like go enjoy a nice night. Like that kind of thing.
Yeah, no way. I'm locked into the TV no matter where I am. There's a part of me that's still kicking around because I've had some friends ask me if I want to go to that concert. Because I'm free until after they make the pick.
Oh, you're free until after they make the pick. Hi, Mandy Baskin.
Thank you. That's how I roll. Glad you asked.
I'll get there one day.
Oh, smells like jealousy.
Without question. It's the must that'll never get out of there. That's pure jealousy right there.
All right, I'm gonna get to this Andrew Berry subject here in a second, but I want you to take a listen to the next two phone calls, and you're gonna see what this city is all about. Ready? JJ is in Cleveland. JJ, you're first. Hi, JJ.
Hey, thanks, man. Thanks for taking my call.
Happy birthday to
that last caller, man. Yeah,
that's really kind of you. Thank you. You know what? You're in the Hall of Fame, too, for being nice.
Congratulations. You are the second member of the Baskin and Phelps Hall of Fame.
I appreciate it.
Until you rip me, and then you're up in Hinkley.
I would like them, you know, I've been pondering this for like the last couple of days because it's been so crazy about what people are saying. Take Shedeur Sanders.
All right, sell me on this, JJ. I'm coming in open-minded. I'm going to close my eyes. Sell me.
Can we not keep skipping over quarterbacks? You know what I'm saying? It's like every year they do the same song and dance. We skip over people or players that everybody say we should get, and they don't. They go the opposite. They trade down. They move back. They try to be smart. And it turns out you're not that smart. Pick the football players. And Shedeur Sanders is a football player. His father's a football player. He coming from a good background. You know, his father, I'm sure he know how to prepare and play. He looked like Joe Flacco just without the 20 interceptions. That's exactly what we need. That's exactly what I want to see.
JJ, new Hall of Famer to the show. Do you think they're taking Shedeur Sanders at 2 tonight? Yes or no?
I know they is.
Oh, they are. Okay, JJ, I want you to call.
No doubt in my mind.
I will give you carte blanche tomorrow to have as much time as you want to talk after they don't take him tomorrow. All right? If they don't take him tonight. Sorry.
Oh, they taking him. Thanks for taking my call. All right, thank you.
JJ says it's going to happen. Hang on. James Middlefield, what do you think of that?
How are you doing, sir? Yes. So, what that last caller had on was complete garbage. So I'm curious about the draft. So I watched the BYU-Colorado game, the bowl game.
Yeah.
Shedeur Sanders, NAB. You know what that means?
Don't get me fired.
Yes.
Not a baller. So you want to go play-by-play on it? I can load it up. Anyways, so first quarter, dude. So just check down. You know, loads it up, squeaky, nothing. First drive, ends in nothing. Great. Okay. Then BYU comes back, stuffs it in their face. Come back with the same garbage, does nothing, right? And then every throw he made, and then he threw his awful, when it came down the wire, threw his awful interception. Instead of running it, instead of throwing in the dirt, instead of the Tom Brady, he did nothing. And so if the Browns draft him, I'm going to laugh. I apologize. I'm not a Browns fan. I'm from a different team, right? But like, I live in Middlefield, right? I'm not a Steelers fan. I hate them.
Bills
too.
Fan?
No.
Go ahead. Who is it? Dallas?
New England Patriots.
All right. Well, don't be embarrassed.
No, that's.
I mean,
do you have a connection to the New England area?
Yeah. Are we going to be mad at a team that's coached by a guy that went to Walsh Jesuit? That's not going to happen. Point.
Okay. I'm saying. I think you guys just. Don't overthink it. Don't overthink it. Pick the end. What's his name again?
Carter.
Yeah,
Abdul.
Just take him. Yeah. Don't overthink it.
How did Jake Retzlaff look at you? Do you like him, the BYU guy?
I have no idea who that guy is.
He was the quarterback of the game you watched, Colorado against BYU.
I didn't know. You just went through the whole thing. No. Hold on. I skip forward. The BYU, when they end the ball, I just skip right through it.
They were up 20-0 in that game, too. Thank you, James. Appreciate it. So there you have it. Like I said, walking into those two phone calls, this is where you have it. You have one guy. First of all, if we did a poll, I would say 92.3% of our listeners would say they are not taking Shedeur Sanders at number two tonight, right?
Always be marketing. Yes. Always be marketing.
I was going to say 92, and I was like, oh, let's throw the point three.
Always be marketing.
Right? Is that not the epitome of what we have listened to since the end of the season every day talking about this draft? Take Shedeur Sanders, don't take Shedeur Sanders. Shedeur Sanders is awesome. Shedeur Sanders is not a first-round pick. Right. That's all we've heard for the last 4 months, and you just got it with two phone calls in less than 4 minutes.
Yeah. That has been the epitome of everyone's arguments for a long period of time, but it feels like in like the last 2 weeks, Andy, it feels like everybody has kind of gone like, okay, they're probably not taking Shedeur too. So,
and by the way,
be the next guy on my list.
The argument that he's Shador's son, yes, makes me realize that he doesn't understand like the game and things around the game. As long as his dad was, you know, teaching him the way most fathers would teach their sons if they have the opportunity to give them a like, I probably should have been an electrician, right? But my dad did not want me to be an electrician. Now I look back at all those things I don't know how to fix in my house. Because I didn't say my dad was a very good electrician. But I look at that, and I'm like, ah, I wish I would have paid more attention. I hope Shedeur isn't thinking that about his dad.
All right, so somebody brought this up. Was it Dane Brugler? Might have been Dane Brugler in a pod I was listening. I might be off base here. So the last quarterback who played for his dad and then played for, like played for a family member,
mm-hmm.
was Brian Brohm. Played for his dad in high school and then played for his brother when he was in college.
Okay.
Found his way into the pros and wasn't that good.
Okay. Right? In the now, pros.
You're right. Does that play into it at all for you? Like,
Not his dad.
Right. No. Not that part of it. But more the fact that, like, Shedeur Sanders has not played for anybody else besides his father since, like,
high school. Grade. Right?
Yeah. No, his dad. I think his dad coached high school. I think Dion was coaching high school.
What are you looking at? You're looking at three. You're looking at the better part of the last decade, is what you're saying.
Yeah. And that's not meant to be a slam idea. Like, we'd all love to coach our kids for all that level. We would love to be a part of their lives that much where we can help and mold them and give them all the things that we didn't have growing up. Like,
right.
I'm not saying it from that regard. But if you look at that, does that make you look at things any differently that the only coach the kids really had has been his dad?
It's probably not going to be good for the next guy. Let's be honest with you.
Okay.
I mean, and it's either or it's going to be great for the next guy because his dad was too hard on him and that he might be at a developmental stage with another coach that sees things that his dad didn't. And as long as he buys into that, that's the key. His dad is always going to be his dad. So well, there's no question. So
yeah. And by the way, this is not meant to be a slam on Dion or a slam on Shedeur or anything else like that. It's just one of those. Well, let's look at the situation and like parcel this out. Like, because I look at it the same way. I wonder if this goes one of two ways. I wonder if a different voice would do him wonders, if maybe hearing it from somebody else maybe would help him along the way. But I also kind of wonder if a head coach were to say something or a quarterback coach or something like that would say something and he'd go, where are your Super Bowl rings? You know, where is your qualification? I wonder if that's the other side of it too. And again, I don't know. I don't know Shedeur. I've never talked to him. I've never met him. I'm not trying to put words in his mouth. It's just part of it's a contemplation that I've had is, okay, him playing for his dad this long, is that a good thing or is that something that could be a fault? And I don't know. Just a question I'm throwing out.
I don't know. I think anybody that when you get into a real competitive level, so let's just say post-high school, and you're trying to play, if your father's the head coach, or in some cases, you know, it might be your mother. I mean,
yeah,
depending on the game. It is an extremely difficult position to be in. It was like I was watching Cornerstone Christian, and you know that Turtle Kwasniak kid is so good. But and his dad, who's now, I hope he ends up somewhere else coaching next year. That you know, I watch this kid, and I'm watching it from the perspective of his father is his coach. Now, when you've got a kid that is that good, the pressure is off the father in some ways because it's like, well, who do you want to have the ball at the end of the game? And there was no question. On that team, you wanted your kid to have the ball at the end of the game. But it's not even, you don't look at it that because everybody in the gym knows the best player on the floor is his kid. And there's no question. But if your kid is not, even if your kid's like a top five player on a team, you're constantly questioning yourself as a coach, I think, in some points. It is very, very difficult to coach your own kid. It's very, very difficult. And my problem was that my dad coached all the way through. Like,
right.
Tons of kids that know how to play baseball because of my dad, okay? But I always played for him, you know, until I hit high school. And when you hit that point, you realize, and like, I remember my dad said this to me, and I ended up doing this to my daughter. It's a lot easier to bench your own kid,
correct,
than it is to bench somebody else's kid.
Yeah.
So if it's a, if there's a draw and you know your kid's probably as good as, and by the way, you have to be unbelievably realistic about your own kid to be in that spot.
Right.
And you've got to know exactly where the line is, and you've got to know who's better, who's worse. Again, I'm talking about that competitive high school level, because the problem at the real youth level is a lot of times you get coaches that want to coach just because their kid wasn't getting playing time for somewhere else, and they want to put him somewhere else. And so, but I don't, I mean, let's face it. I mean, Shador Sanders, this is a different world.
He's really good. Like, yeah. I'm taking nothing away from him with this. It's just one of those, like, thoughts that had crossed my head a little bit of like, okay, the only time that this has really happened where you had somebody playing for family the whole way up off the top of my head and with a little research is Brian Brohm. And that kind of flopped a little bit. And I don't think that was the reason it flopped, but it doesn't happen very often. Hmm.
Daryl Ryder next, Baskin and Phelps. It is game day. As far as the draft is concerned, my friends, it feels like it. Man, we're all a little neurotic today, aren't we? 216-474-0092. Let's all share it as we get ready for the Browns to step on the clock tonight and be the number two pick.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. A new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.